will be from Daniel chapter 6, reading the first 10 verses. Daniel 6, beginning with verse 1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom, and over these three governors, of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might give account to them, so that the king would suffer no loss. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. So the governors and satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find no charge or fault, because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found in him. Then these men said, "We shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God." So these governors and satraps thronged before the king and said thus to him, "King Darius, live forever. All the governors of the kingdom, the administrators and satraps, the counselors and advisors, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter." Therefore, King Darius signed the written decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. And in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days.
There are many lessons in the Bible that we can learn concerning different people and the examples they set. From the Old Testament through the New, we see that there is an interest in studying God's Word on our part as Christians, and there should be, because the things that were written aforetime, according to Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, were written for our learning. We should have an interest in the things of the Bible, not only the New Testament, but also the Old, and the fact that 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11 tells us that the examples that were set by those people of God of old, they were examples that were given for our admonition, and there are warnings there for us and some things that they did that were wrong that we ought not to partake in those same things lest we sin also. So when we think about the Word of God and looking to the different books of the Bible and the different people and the different activities that took place among the lives of the people of God of old and also in the New Testament, there are examples that we need to look at that are warnings that would tell us that these are things we don't need to be involved in because they're wrong. And so we see the consequences that were brought upon those people, so we're to abstain from that type of activity. However, there are many good examples throughout the Old and the New Testament that we can learn from today that will help us in our lives, and I believe that's the case of Daniel. Daniel, of course, is an interesting story, a true story, and the fact of his life and the circumstances in which he lived and the stand he took for serving God, even in the face of being done wrong by his own people, the people around him, his peers, and he stood firm in doing things that were good. So I think there's some good examples there that we can look at in the life of Daniel. And there's some lessons, I believe, that we can learn from Daniel. Let's do that this morning concerning the life of Daniel, the example that he set. In Matthew chapter 24 and verse 15, Jesus, the Son of God, in referring to some things that have happened in the past and things that are going to happen and prophecies that were made, Jesus identified Daniel as a prophet. In Matthew 24 and verse 15, and that same identification is made also in Mark 13 and verse 14. So in the book of Daniel itself, when we read about Daniel the person, the book of Daniel that was for whom it seems he was the author, we get a very good look at some of the prophecies that Daniel made, the revelations that were made from God to him, and him being able to interpret certain things and being able to make certain prophetic utterances concerning not only the kingdoms of men, but also the kingdom of God. So when we look at these things, we need to understand that there are some lessons from Daniel that we need to look at. And there's about four or five points I want to consider this morning concerning Daniel things that he did in his life that are good examples that we also can apply to our lives today. But let's look at the book of Daniel just briefly. First of all, the chronological time frame of Daniel includes parts of three eras of time, three ruling eras of the biblical time. First of all, it includes part of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, who reigned from 605 to 561 B.C., So in the writing of the book and the time frame of Daniel, part of that took place under the reign of Nebuchadnezzar. Secondly, parts of the things that happened in the book of Daniel that we read about took place under the era of Nabonidus, or the Belshazzar era, we might say, 556 to 539 B.C. So when we look back to the time frame when Daniel lived and the things that the captivity that he was under, the three different regimes, you might say, that he was under, wherein there was some captivity of the people of God. The reign then of Cyrus, 539 to 536 B.C. So this would be the chronological time frame of the book of Daniel, in which we can see that there are some people of the world who rule in kingdoms that affect people of God who wanted to serve him. And this is the case of Daniel. Now, the book of Daniel is divided up on the basis of the fact that it's not just written or recorded in one language. Bilingual in the fact and the structure that if you look at Daniel chapter 1, according to historical records and Bible scholars, we see in chapter 1, verse 1 through chapter 2 and verse 4a, the first part of verse 4, going down through chapter 8, verse 1 and chapter 12, verse 13, it is the Hebrew dialect. And then when you go to chapter 2, verse 4, second part of that verse, through chapter 7, verse 28, it is in Aramaic. So apparently Daniel was familiar with a number of languages. We know that he was an intelligent man. He was a good man because he found favor before the kings. He found favor before the people that had rule over him. He was a very intelligent young man, and so God was with him. And there's a lot of good lessons we can learn from him this morning, and let's talk about a few things concerning Daniel before we get to those main points. First of all, the name Daniel, which means God is my judge, Daniel lived in the 600 BC era, as we've already pointed out, the time frame of those three regimes, you might say. And he was the main person in this book, being the author of Daniel. He was the main person in this book, the things surrounding him and what he did in his life in regard to the pressures he faced from certain decrees that were put in place that would want to pull him away from God, or they could find fault with him by not obeying the king and obeying God. And so here's a man that was put under some pressure. So during the reign of King Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel was taken from Jerusalem. He was taken captive to Babylon about 604 B.C. and he was held captive there. And we look at that, we see the things that's happening in his life and the time frame. Daniel then, we see in Daniel chapter 1 that he rose to a responsible position there in his life under the regime of King Nebuchadnezzar. He became responsible. The king favored him because of the kind of man he was and what he could do. And he continued not only under Nebuchadnezzar, but also under the reign of Cyrus, the king of Persia, who conquered Babylon in about 539 B.C. So here's Daniel, a man of God who's serving God, a prophet of God, who's determined to do God's will rather than the will of man, who's determined to bow down and pray to God rather than down to an image, a golden image, or bow down before a man or an image of gold. So he took a stand for the things that were good in his life. Now, just for a few minutes this morning, let's consider Daniel and a few lessons that I can draw from him that should be able to help me and also help you in our lives today. They applied to him, and in 2016 they can apply to us also. Go to Daniel chapter 6 and verse 23 for our first point this morning, and we see that certainly when we look at Daniel, we see that he was a man of faith and he was a person who trusted in God. Daniel chapter 6 and verse 23, "Now the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den." This was after he'd been put in the lion's den, which we'll get into some of that later in the lesson. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatsoever was found on him because he believed in his God. Here's Daniel. When we look at the things that were done to try to trap Daniel, to try to trick Daniel, decrees that some of these princes had the ruling power to make, that would they knew that Daniel was a good man. As Donald read about this morning in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 4 and 5, he was a good man and they knew he was such a good person and he obeyed his God, that they were not going to find any wrong in him unless it was in regard to the God of heaven that Daniel worshiped. If there were rules and decrees made by man that would conflict with his faith in God and his obeying God, then they could find fault with him because he would not obey the decree of man, he would obey God. But we see then that Daniel's faith, when those decrees were made, his faith held firm. Even when he was told that he and tricked and that they decided they were going to take him and put him in the lion's den, his faith held fast. He trusted in God. And even when he was brought up out of the den after the mouths of the lions were shut and there was no harm came to him, and the night that he was in there, the king that had him placed there, he felt bad about it. He couldn't rest for the fact that he's concerned about Daniel. But even before he knew, before he put Daniel in there, he made the statement, the king did, that, you know, the God that you trust in will guard you, will take care of you. And that's what happened. The God looked over Daniel. But what was it about Daniel that helped him in the fact that God watched over him? Well, if you go to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 33, we want to turn over there. And before we read verse 33 of Hebrews chapter 11, I want to inject the fact that not only did Daniel have faith in his life, that through his strong faith he obeyed God rather than man. He obeyed God through his faith, even in the face of persecution and in the face of death. Hebrews 11 and 1 tells us what faith is. And it's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And Hebrew 11:6 tells us that you and I cannot please God without faith. So if we want to be somewhat as Daniel was and be a man of faith and please God, we've got to have a faith that obeys God. In Hebrews 11 and verse 33, we see then that in regard to Daniel and the faith that he had and his trust in God, we see that here's a man who whenever Daniel believed in God, what happened? Even the mouths of the lions were shut. So here's faith in God in action. Daniel was a man of faith. He trusted in God. Rather than letting the fear of man pull him away from praying to God and believing in God and doing God's will and letting others influence him to pull away from God, his faith held firm. Secondly, we see this morning that not only did Daniel have faith, but he was a man of prayer. Look to Daniel chapter 6, verses 10 and 11. Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10. Donald read verse 10. We want to read verses 10 and 11 concerning the prayerful attitude of Daniel. Verse 10 says, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days." Notice now, when there was a plot against Daniel, and they persuaded the king then, that here's what you need to do. Make a decree, And if anyone goes against it, then this is what you'll do to them. Well, Daniel, he was determined to obey God. Verse 11 says, "Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God." So he was such a man of faith and trusting in God and believed God that irregardless of what may happen to him in his obedience to God, because of the pressure of mankind or the decrees of man that would influence him not to obey God, he was a man then that prayed to God in all this. Look at chapter 9, verses 3 and 4. Daniel chapter 9, verses 3 and 4. Daniel says, "Then I set my face toward the Lord God to make requests by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession." You see then that Daniel was a prayerful man. So when you look at Daniel and what he did and the good example that's set for us today, that we too need to be people who engage in having a faith in God that will not be deterred. That we will pray to God even when it may not be the popular thing to do, or even when others say we ought not to be praying, that we would be prayerful people, that we would pray to God. Not only did Daniel pray to God, but I want you to look at verse 3 there in Daniel chapter 9, and you look at the man of faith, and he's praying to God, and the trust he had in God, his actions proved his faith. His actions shows that here's a man who was truly willing to, by his deeds, obey God rather than obey man. He said, "Then I set my face," this is Daniel 9 verse 3, "Then I set my face toward the Lord to make requests by prayer and supplications," listen, "with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes." So we need to understand also that a third thing about Daniel is that won't be on the points today, so we can keep the lesson down to a minimum amount of points, and maybe we will remember those four or five points. But also he was a man of humility. A man of humility. He was a man who fasted. He dressed himself in sackcloth and ashes. So when we think about our faith in God and praying to God, we need to be people who are humble, that pray to God, that trust in God, and that we would show it with our actions, that we would show by our humility and our actions that we are honoring God, that we're bowing down before Him, as Daniel did in his life. But thirdly this morning, we see chapter 1 and verse 8. Turn back there about 7 chapters from where you were. Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8, we see that Daniel did what? Daniel purposed in his heart to do the right thing. To do the right thing. Purposed in his heart to do the right thing. Daniel 1 and verse 8. Do we have everyone's attention? Do we have our attention focused on the Word of God? Daniel 1 verse 8. "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself." He purposed in his heart to do the right thing. Even though there were some things that was going to be done that he was supposed to be partaking of, he decided that I'm going to purpose in my heart to do the thing that's right. I want to make sure that I don't want to defile myself. And that's a good example for us today. We need to purpose in our heart today also that we will not defile ourselves with the ways of the world, the things of the world, or the corruptness of religious denominations around us. That we wouldn't defile ourselves with the creeds of men, the doctrines of men, or partake of the things and the sins of the world. He purposed in his heart to do the right thing. Chapter 1 and verse 8. We're told in James chapter 4 and verse 17 in regard to our actions and doing the right thing, that to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So we need to be determined today to purpose in our heart to do the right thing. And when we know what is right, we need to do it. And if we know the right thing to do and we don't do it, it is sin. And when we know there are things we ought not to be doing and we engage in them anyway, it is sin. So we need to purpose in our heart, as Daniel did, to do the right thing in our life. To be consistent in serving God and doing His will. Well, in the fourth place this morning, we see that Daniel did not compromise. In all this that was going on, a man of faith, a man who prayed, a man who showed by his actions that he wanted to serve God and obey Him, he purposed in his heart to do the right thing, he didn't compromise when pressure was put on. He didn't compromise his integrity or his service to God or his obedience to God when other decrees were made or things were come about by mankind that would deter him from serving God. He didn't compromise the truth. He didn't compromise his obedience. Go to Daniel chapter 6 again and let's look at verses 1 through 17. Now, Donald read verses 1 through 10 and we've already read verse 11. So let's take up in verse 12 and go through verse 17, where we see that Daniel did not compromise the principles of doing right, of having faith, of trusting in God, and determining to be the kind of person that God would have him to be. Verse 12 of Daniel chapter 6. And they went before the king and spoke concerning the king's decree. Have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any god or man within 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter. So they answered and said before the king, that Daniel, who is one of the captives from Judah, does not show due regard for you, O king, or for the decree that you have signed, but makes his petition three times a day. Verse 14, the king, when he heard these words, was greatly displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men approached the king and said to the king, Know, O king, and said to the king, Know, O king, that it is the law of the Medes and Persians that no decree or statute which the king establishes may be changed. Remember back when Donald read who put the idea in the king's head. What kind of trickery was being made to try to catch Daniel in something? The only thing we can find to any way that we're going to find a fault with this man is to put something out there contrary to his God and try to get him to do it. So they had this thing put in place by the king. So verse 16, the king gave the command. And they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke. Remember I mentioned this earlier in the lesson? The king spoke saying, Daniel, your God whom you serve continually, He will deliver you. Remember this king was already sorry about the fact that these people had come to him and telling him about Daniel because he knew Daniel. He knew the kind of person Daniel was. Though, verse 17, though, he's going to go ahead and make sure the law that's been put in place, the decree, is kept. And that whoever is not keeping that decree of the king is going to be punished. And Daniel prayed to God rather than obeying the decree of the king. Verse 17, then a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and the signets of his lords, and the purpose concerning Daniel might be changed. You see then that Daniel, who was uncompromising to keep his faith in God, to continue to pray in God, to purpose in his heart to do that which was right, he wasn't willing to compromise the truth. He wasn't willing to compromise his own standards, his own desire to obey God. He did not compromise. And so he was put in the lion's den. The lion's den. And so there it sees that when you see that he was put there, let's go on down a few verses and see what happened. After he was put in the lion's den, verse 18, the king, verse 18, went to his palace and spent the night fasting, and no musicians were brought before him. Also his sleep went before him. Remember I said he couldn't rest for thinking about Daniel? Then the king arose early in the morning, verse 19, and went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? Remember what that king said. Remember what he said earlier. The king said, your God can save you. Verse 21, then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths so that they have not hurt me. Because I was found innocent before him, and also, O king, I have done no wrong before you. Now the king was exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, no injury whatever was found on him, because he believed in his God. There goes his faith again. He believed in his God. In Hebrews 11, verse 23, even by many others, that's too numerous to name, who had faith of old, even the mouths of lions were shut because of some of these people's great faith. And Daniel was a man of faith. But let's notice now. Daniel, who had faith and trusted in God, he prayed to God, purposed in heart to do what was right, and did not compromise here's a king that really knew the content of Daniel. And even though the decree had been made, he hated the fact that Daniel was going to have to be put in that lion's den. And it bothered him. So once he realized that Daniel is safe, he was so glad. Look what it did. Look what the influence of Daniel in his faith to God had on this king. Look at verse 24 of Daniel 6. And the king gave the command, and they brought these men who had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions. Them, their children, and their wives. And the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces before they ever came to the bottom of the den. Then, verse 25, King Darius wrote, before we read this, let's don't ever question or doubt what your good influence as a Christian or what the influence that I may be able to have of good as a Christian, how much impact it may be having on people around us. People in authority, our neighbors, our friends, our co-workers, fellow students, fellow teachers, the people with whom we have business. We may not think it is, but if we'll have faith and we'll pray to God and we won't compromise the truth and we'll set our heart on doing right and do what's right, it can have an impact on people's lives. It may not happen immediately, but somewhere down the road it'll have an influence. We may not know it in our lifetime, but it may affect them later on after we've gone on because we had faith and obeyed God. Look at verse 25. Then King Darius wrote, Daniel 6, verse 25, to all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth, who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus, the Persian, remember? We talked about that third era that he prospered in. My friends, it pays dividends, great dividends and great blessings. They cannot be measured to serve God, to do His will. A lot of valuable lessons about Daniel. I hope the points we made this morning will help us to want to do as Daniel did. Let's notice just quickly. Daniel chapter 11 and verse 32. Daniel 11 verse 32, the people who know their God will be strong and do great deeds. Daniel was a strong man of faith. He was a strong man of prayer. He was a strong man and said, I'm going to do the thing that's right. He was a strong man. He did not compromise. He was a strong man and he set a good influence. And out of all that, he did great deeds in serving God. And look what happened. Look at the great influence he had. We need to be strong today and stand up for what's right. Stand against evil. Stand against wrong. And do what's right no matter what. Well, there's some terrible consequences for those people who don't obey God. What happened to those people that connived against Daniel? Them and their families, their children, they were thrown in the lion's den. And they were eaten before they hit the bottom of the lion's den. There's some consequences coming if we don't believe God and obey Him. We need to have faith as Daniel did and obey God. Set our heart to do what's right. 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 7 through 9. He says that Jesus is going to come. Paul says Jesus is going to come in the last day, taking vengeance on those who do what? Who do not know God. And who do not obey the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Just a few words for thought this morning. I love the study of the old and the new, and I know you do. There's good lessons in both books. We're under the law of Christ. We live under the law of Christ. But the things that were written in the Old Testament for our learning, for our admonition, and the good examples that were set, such as by the man Daniel, let us look and see. Are we too people of God who have faith, who are determined to do that which is right, who are going to be prayerful people, and who are not going to compromise the truth? We're going to stand up and serve God. If you're here this morning and perhaps you haven't rendered obedience to the Lord in baptism, why not have enough faith to do that? Be willing to confess Christ, the Son of God, repent of your sins and be baptized this day. And you leave this building a child of God and go forward and set your heart on doing what is right. If you're here this morning and maybe you are a child of God and there's something in your life you need to correct in a public way, then God is there waiting. He's there calling. And He would ask that you confess your sins and repent of them and pray to Him. And if you need so, we can pray with you and for you, and God will forgive you. If you're subject to the invitation anyway, Peter's going to lead us in the invitation song. Please respond while we sing.